Is that his song? Yeah. Cheers, Dan. Thank you very much. So, yeah, for those that don't know me, my name is James. So it's good to be here this evening. We're going to do a really short section, just two verses today. So it's kind of nice in a way. I was saying to Dan, actually, that doing a short section of the Bible means you're probably more likely to remember the actual passage sort of later on in the week. So maybe that's kind of, I don't know, maybe that's good. So it's Revelation chapter 22 and it's verses 12 and 13. So this is Jesus speaking. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So yeah, I was thinking just to sort of explain just a couple of the words. And so obviously I think we hear alpha, the word alpha, quite a lot. I think if I said alpha, most of you know what that means. Obviously it's the phonetic alphabet where it's A, it's at the start of the alphabet, and then you know, you hear things like alpha male, and there's actually a film coming out called Alpha, which is about like prehistoric man, sort of the very early days. So yeah, it's the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Letter of the Greek alphabet, so it's sort of the A and the Z of the, you know, sort of the alphabet, the Greek alphabet. So it's basically saying first and the last, and it's using the alphabet as a kind of sort of metaphor for that. And so here we are. So I've got a Bible. I've actually got this more as a prop more than anything. So if you see, this is where we are, right at the end of the Bible. This is Jesus speaking, and he is speaking right at the end of time. This is the kind of the final whistle of the match. It's approaching. Maybe somebody's been subbed, maybe somebody's been injured during the game, but when that final whistle goes, the match is over. The curtain falling at the end of a play and a stage. You know, when that actor playing the king, when that curtain falls, he's no longer playing a king. When the person playing the pauper, when the curtain falls at the end of the stage play and the play is over, he's no longer playing the pauper. They're just ordinary people, actors, just standing there, the curtain having fallen. And I guess this asks us the question, what when the curtain falls on our lives, when the final whistle does go, when this world as it is comes to an end, what will be there? And this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, me. Jesus says, I will be there. So we're going to start off, we're going to look at verse 13 first, and then we're going to kind of go back to verse 12 and have a little look at that. So, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So, here we are in the Bible. At this point, if I were to go to this point, right on the other side, what would I find? What would the first words be? A little test, maybe. In the beginning. That's it. In the beginning. And actually, in the Hebrew, that's just one word. In the beginning. So, right at the start of the Bible, in Genesis, we have that beginning. And in John's Gospel, what does John's Gospel tell us about the beginning? He sort of says, in the beginning, but he says something slightly different. What did he say? In the beginning was the Word. That really important Christmas passage. So in the beginning was the Word, that Word, of course, being Jesus. And so, from page one of the Bible, page one of creation, Jesus is there. Jesus is not something that was ever new. Jesus was not somebody that only turned up in the year 2,000 years ago, in the year of our Lord. Jesus is there from the beginning of time. So, Jesus has been there from the start. And you might sort of say, okay, well, Jesus in the past, or he came 2,000 years ago, so what? That's the past, that's gone. What does it mean that Jesus was there at the creation 2,000 years ago? What does that mean? that was then and this is now? Are we just going to be, are we able to move beyond that? Are we able to outgrow it? Can we go one step further? And it doesn't take long. If you look at read the newspapers or watch the TV, you see actually people are trying to move beyond Jesus. They're trying to say, actually, that was what they believed now, that was what they did then, but now we actually believe something different. We actually do something different. That's not relevant anymore. And so we go to the end, we go to the next part. Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. At the end of time, Jesus is with us. At the end of the time, there is Jesus. The end of every story, every life, every reality. Ultimately, there is Jesus. And that means that each day, as each day passes, each week, each year, each moment passes, we're moving closer and closer to Jesus, closer and closer to the end where there will be Jesus. There's no alternative ending to that story. At the end of everything, at the end of time, there is Jesus. There was I think it was Jeremy Taylor, sort of back in the day, he said, sounds kind of quite sort of macabre when you say it now, but also a little bit grim. He said, we form our words with the breath of our nostrils, and we have all the less to live upon for every word we speak. By the simple fact that we are mortal beings and we're subject to time, with every second that passes, we move closer and closer to that end, where there will be Jesus. And so it does sound kind of a little bit morbid. It could sound perhaps fatalistic, but actually it's not. And I think that actually these words should be a great source of encouragement, because actually with those passing hours, with those passing seconds, we come closer and closer to the one that loves us. That's not to say Jesus is static. That's not just to say that Jesus is sitting there at the finish line in a kind of deck chair waiting for us to run close to him. That's not what the Bible tells us at all. And actually, this is kind of what Christmas is about. The message of Christmas is that actually that God came into the present, into the now. God came in the person of Jesus Christ to this world, to us. God's love isn't something that sits far off in the future. It's not just at the end of time. God's love is something that he brought to earth so that we could experience it here and now. It is Jesus that came into this world so that he could save us and he could die for us. So Jesus is not just in the past at the beginning. He's not just in the future at the end. But Jesus is here now with us. This is a present reality for us. And so the question then becomes, it's not actually a question of history, it's not a question of something in the past, it's not a question just of something in the future, but it's a question of now. How are we, how are you, how am I responding to Jesus now, in the present? So now we'll go back to verse 12. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. So to some people, this coming soon of Jesus will be a great comfort. Actually, Revelation was written to churches that were being persecuted. It was written at a time of great trouble for those Christians. Sometimes their lives would have actually been quite close to a living hell. And so, to hear that in that torment, to hear that actually Jesus is coming soon, would have been a great comfort to them. It would have been a great joy to hear that. It would have given them solace that soon, that peace and justice that comes with Christ was coming soon. But when it comes to talking about the second coming, I think sometimes there's that other feeling. There's that feeling that actually it's not so comforting that Jesus is coming soon. Sometimes people are fearful. They know that if Christ came very soon, they'd be caught in sin. And there's a famous hymn, Lo, He Comes on Clouds Descending, and it talks there. It's kind of like, it's a little bit old school, but it's quite an interesting one. But it talks about some people. There are some people that gaze, they're sort of the ransom people, and they gaze on his scars and his wounds, the tokens of his love and passion for us, and they're awed in rapture. But then there are also those that look and they see that the sin of their lives has been exposed, and they can do nothing but wail deeply. I don't know how it is for you guys, but personally I feel a mixture of both. I know that in some aspects of my life I desire that coming of Jesus soon to actually, you know, come and change things and sort everything out. But I know that also there are areas of my life where there is real fallenness, real sin. Areas of my life that I haven't handed over to the risen Lord. Areas where I do sin to cling, I do cling to sin, to guilt, and to unbelief. And unbelief, I think that's an important one. I think sometimes we also lack faith in what God is doing. There are times that, you know, it's quite normal personally to doubt even the fundamentals of Christian faith. It might seem strange, but unbelief is something you can place before God. In Mark 9, a man comes before Jesus. He's a man with a child that's very sick. I think he's possessed by a demon. And this man says to Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief. He goes to Jesus, and this is what he comes out in the discussion. Help me overcome my unbelief. And I felt as I was writing this talk, actually, that if it's something you're struggling with, if you're struggling with unbelief, that you're called this evening to put that unbelief before Jesus. As paradoxical as that might seem, put that belief before Jesus. And he is the one that can help you overcome it. So the question is now, how do you feel? Perhaps the same as me, sort of mixed feelings about the coming soon of Jesus. What are those areas of your life that you need to place at Jesus' feet? Because ultimately, we can't do it alone. That's why Jesus came, that 2,000 years ago. That's the whole point of Christmas. We can't do it alone. We need Jesus, and we need his sacrifice. We also need the Spirit, which lives among us now. Because it says in the passage, Jesus' reward is with him. Don't be the person clinging to guilt or unbelief on that day. So there we have it. There's Jesus in the beginning. Jesus will be there at the end. And the question then now becomes, how are you going to respond now? Because Jesus is coming sooner than you think. And I was reminded as well, just as I was talking about, as I was writing the talk, there was a men's breakfast, and it would have been perhaps a year or 2 years ago. There was a guy that had, he was a sculptor, so he was very artistic. And he specialised in the prodigal son, or say specialised, that was his big passion. And he had these really quite beautiful sculptures of the son returning to the father, embracing. And so he'd specialised on that moment of embrace as the prodigal son returns to his father, having gone wandering and having lived the life away from his father. And it was interesting because he was recalling a conversation that he had. And it was a conversation. He was sitting somewhere in London on a park bench with somebody who was a pastor, I think a pastor or a vicar, I'm not sure what denomination, but somebody nonetheless who was a paid member of the church. And he said he was sitting there on the bench, and he said, if Jesus was just over there, just sitting on the bench, just the bench opposite us, you know, 5 meters away, what would you do? And the pastor sort of looked at him, sort of drew a deep, sort of awkward breath and said, and this artist, he said, actually, that's fascinating. What would stop you from running over there, falling at Jesus' feet? What would stop you there from going and embracing him like a father, like a mother, going there, showing your total love and devotion in return for the total love and devotion that he's shown for you? And I think, amongst other things, the answer is that sense of guilt, that shame, any sense of unbelief. It's those things that probably stop that person, probably stop me, if I'm honest, I've completely empathized with that pastor, sort of put on the spot with that kind of question, from running over to the risen Lord and just totally embracing, totally falling at his feet. And I'm just saying today that if there's anything that sort of makes you feel like that, if there's anything that would stop you from running and embracing the risen Lord, if he was sitting just at the front there, then that's what you need to be putting forward before Jesus this evening.